And she's very, very clever. But and once I remember saying to her, "Now, don't touch that. That's very precious. That was very, don't touch that." So she went up to it. She was about 18 months old. She went up to it and she took hold of a pen and she touched it with the pen. And as if she looked at me as if to say, "You are, you see, I didn't touch it, the pen touched it." And you suddenly realize that the sin, the sinfulness of the human heart, the inventiveness of the human heart to sin. When you say, "Don't do that," people start thinking, "Oh, don't have chewing gum. Maybe we can go to Malaysia and buy chewing gum." You know, and all these things. The human heart is... And people start discussing. It's very interesting to hear people discuss the subject of divorce and remarriage. Now, I'm not going to teach on it here. And I'm not going to do an MBI course on that. But the reason I'm not is because I don't think you can really teach it, understand it, once you start from a legalistic basis. In other words, when you start the legal examination of these subjects, you're looking for loopholes. But that's not why the thing is given. It's not given for condemnation either. God wants us to be blessed. He doesn't want us to be looking for loopholes or things. No. And that's the problem. When you start examining, these people are always saying, "Well, what about that case? What about that case? And what about that case?" And you think, "Well, yeah, look, we realize there are so many different things, but we can't really begin to examine this like a legal handbook." Like my daughter said, "You said don't touch the floor, but I'm not touching the floor." And I think, well, you're right, but actually, that's not the spirit to approach what I say. And it's the spirit in which you approach God's... God isn't coming to condemn. He's not coming to find fault. He's not coming to... He's coming to give us understanding that we may have faith and go forward. And that's one of the huge problems when you look at that and other subjects. People get... They begin to sort of get very legalistic. Once you like that, you may as well go to a solicitor and ask him. But if you come to God, God says, "Do you really want to know what my heart is for you? Do you want to know what my heart is for you?" And that's a different question as to how do I interpret that verse and that verse? God, do you really want to know what is my will for you? Not the legalistic interpretations of every verse in the Bible, but what I want for you to bless you. And that's the problem with the law, because when the law came, almost as soon as it was given, the people started examining it and saying, "Well, what does it really mean?" And they began to say, "Well, thou shalt not kill. That means those murderers are very bad. Shut up, you fool. I'm speaking. Those murderers are very... Shut up, you fool." And Jesus said, "If you call somebody a fool, you've murdered somebody." But you see, they interpreted the law legalistically. Jesus said, "I don't. I look on your motives." And that's the problem, you see. What comes through in the law is God is saying, Look at the trickishness of your heart. Look at your reaction to laws. And really, the law is given to teach us our need of salvation, of grace. The law should break our pride. Finney said, "Preach the law and then they'll be saved." Why? Because if you preach the law, they'll be conscious of sin and their need of a Savior, and they'll cry out to God for mercy. And this is true not just in terms of Israel being brought to Christ. The Bible says the law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. It's true in our own lives. God declares his righteousness and his righteous standards and should make sinners tremble and say, I need a Savior. I need a Savior. Because we need a Savior. And the truth is that in the Old Testament, God wanted those who heard the law to tremble in brokenness, not rise up in pride and say, those horrible murderers over there. God wanted them to say, wow, we're sinners. Have mercy on us, Lord. Have mercy on us. God's law is a wonderful declaration of his heart. Now, there are different things about the law. There is the moral side of the law. And the moral side of the law never will depart, obviously. The moral side of the law. There was no ritual in the Ten Commandments. You know, if you didn't kill anybody, there was no ritual in that. They didn't almost stab somebody and say, oh, I mustn't kill you now. Or they didn't do that. They just didn't kill anybody. There's no ritual there. You didn't have to go to church not to kill anybody. You know, you didn't say, I've come to church and I'm not killing anybody this morning. No, you just didn't do something. And that's moral law. And in that sense, there was nothing to do. It was just an absence of other things. You just didn't do it. There were things you did do, like you worshipped God and you honored your father and your mother and so on. But the point is, the moral power of the law, the Ten Commandments, was not ritual. And that side of the law does not pass away ever. But the ritual law, and there are about 600 and something laws in the law of Moses. There were laws, for example, if I were to keep the law of Moses, I couldn't wear these trousers. Can you tell why these trousers are against the law of Moses? Anybody? There's a law that says you shall not mix nylon with cotton. There's a law that says that. Actually, it says wool and linen, but these are nylon and cotton, I think. or nylon and wool. I don't know what they are. But the thing is, the Bible says in the Old Testament law, you shall not mix. It's very interesting to notice people's reaction to the law because they quote the law when it pleases them. You know, they say, tattooing. Oh, tattooing is very wrong. You shall not tattoo because you shall make no marks in your flesh. And then you say, well, what are you wearing those trousers for? They're as much against the law as the tattooing. And then there's another one, you shall not trim your beard. Well, I haven't got a beard, but you know, we've got someone here who's got a beard. You mustn't trim it. Oh. 610 laws. When you build an extension to your house, make sure you put a railing so that nobody falls off. And once you start down the line of law, wow, you're in trouble because you're going to have to keep it all. The Bible says if you break the law in one point, you're guilty of it all. Oh, dear. So, you know, you may condemn tattooing, but you wearing those trousers, you're as guilty. Wow. You see, the point about the law is it's saying, do you really think you can be right with God by law? Do you really think that God's going to give you a manual as thick as this, as the Pentateuch, and say, now go on, you keep that lot, 610 laws. And then the other thing is you suddenly realize you're standing on a teddy bear. You're keeping the letter of the law, but you've broken the spirit. You know, I'm not calling him a fool, an idiot, but not a fool. The Bible says you can't call him a fool. I only called him an idiot. Now, that may seem strange to you, but it's how the human heart works. And when Jesus said to the woman brought taken in adultery, he said, "Has no man condemned you?" Neither. Why did no man condemn him? Because Jesus said, "He who is without sin, cast the first stone." And he was teaching them that really, you can't condemn people.